dull pain. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. You know, what are painkillers, Church? Please tell me, painkillers ever healed anybody? Basically, it takes pain away. It never heals a problem in life. You know, I'm amazed how people react with aggression towards my sermons. I'm amazed how very little people see the whole catastrophic reality. Do you understand? I want to talk to you today about that someone infused the church with painkillers. Somebody infused painkillers into church. And even right now, if something happens right now, your hands and feet might be broken and you might not even notice it because in your body, you have morphine in your body that knocks out all pain, and you are a paralyzed personality and you don't even feel any pain. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about church in general, like an organism. Oh, my dear ones, painkillers. What is it? Where God always reacts to pain, amen? And somebody who is calling him and screaming for him, he comes. What is he to do with those people that everything is broken, but they don't feel any pain? They never cry for help. They're happily smiling, even though in their organism, all their bones are broken. He is laying under the IV, and IV, you know, once in a while infuses him with morphine. So, and he doesn't even realize what is happening in his organism, and he is really dying. Church. I was always worried about the church. People tell me, why are you preaching against me? I'm not preaching against you. I'm preaching to the church. If you consider yourself a church, then this sermon is for you. Amen. If you don't consider yourself, then, you know, stop bothering. I'm amazed how people... I understand that I am like smelling salts that bring people into reality. By turning on my sermon, some people start coming into themselves. I'm sorry, but that's what God made me. He put me in this position. I cannot preach anything else because that's not going to be me. Turn off the TV and stop getting to me. You hear me? I will say what God gave me to say and what he put in my heart. And that's it. No matter how much it would cost me, no matter how much and how hard it will be for me, but I have to express everything that he has put inside of me from a long time ago. And little by little, I will reveal these things that God has put inside of me. How can we just sit calmly, all of us, the whole Christianity, and not see the catastrophe of churches, of those that have not made it, basically everyone? I can tell you facts and facts about the churches that have not made it. Facts behind facts about ministers that have not made it, pastors that have not made it. It's better for them not to even exist, you hear me? Let there be one, but that matches the standard of the Bible, amen? That will do what it was born to do by God here on earth. And that is the one function, revolution. Total transformation. Transformation of the nation. The church is a virus of the Holy Spirit. And nothing can touch it. And the church cannot touch anything. And it's not going to have effect. It will have an effect, and will have a colossal effect. If we are called church, everything that touches us and everything that we touch changes. And it either hates and leaves, or it transforms and gets closer to God. There is no other reaction. If there's churches in cities, many, many churches, and the neighbors don't even know what is happening, what are you even telling me about? People do not see. I don't know what, who told us or injected us with morphine. All of us are injected, that we don't see our dying generation. We're all going to be under IV, laying under with IV in our veins, and only worry about our sheds, if you call that, not even church. The nation is going into hell. The generation is heading into hell. Families after families, souls after soul, and we're counting dead people. We're visiting funerals. I don't know. What does the church need to be injected with for the church to lose any kind of reaction? And when you start to shine, you know, like the doctors, you know how they check if you have reaction. They point in your eye, and the pupil of your eye dilates. And even if a person is without conscious, he's not conscious, the doctors can tell that the person is still alive and we can reanimate him. And when the Holy Spirit starts shining inside the pupil of the church, very, very, very bright light, the pupil does not even react. There could be bodies and bodies being, you know, buried. And we say, oh, well, they're sinners. That's what they get. Until we will make this nation our own problem. You hear me? I don't really need to preach about it. I live great. I can go somewhere else and just forget about it all. I have it all. And everything is doing great. Who's going to get and worry about those that have problems? Church, I'm going to grab you by your lapels and just shake you right now. How much or how much morphine the body of Christ has that it's not even what it was supposed to be and what it was born to be? You know, like one finger is moving, maybe an eye is twitching somewhere. Ooh, revival is here. Some sort of nervous, you know, shaking happening, and somebody said, oh, the glory of God came down. My dear ones, the church needs to arise. The devil has to feel all the glory and power of the church, the real church. Not individual people like me and you and a couple more people and other churches over there and there that all we know about. There's millions of churches. This is what and who I'm talking to. You understand me? This is who I'm screaming at. This is what I want to see, at least towards the end of my life. This is what I want to see changed. I'm not just screaming just to, you know, satisfy myself. This sermon is a global sermon. It's not individual. It's global. It's not only for you personally, but it's towards a corporation as a body of Christ. Why? Why are we paralyzed? Because we always have fingers pointing at somebody else except ourselves. This is the pastor. Let him deal with it. Pastor soon will break his back and will lose his voice, vocal cords. And you're like, oh, great show today. Awesome sermon. I just want to stop being like an entertainer, funny entertainment. I just want to sow into the body of Christ. You know who I am? Right now, I'm the slide that is pointing in your eye right now and checking you. Do you have any reaction? Oh, you hate me? That's a reaction. Then something's going to happen to you. Oh, he irritates me. Of course. Imagine light being pointed into your pupil. His sermon, take him away from TV. Of course, smelling salts. Nobody likes smelling salts. Who likes to smell that kind of stuff? It'll throw you 3 feet away from smelling it. That's me. Welcome. That's okay. Amen. I'm amazed just by moving through people, by praying for people. People that are in church, they were born from above, baptized with the Holy Spirit. They do not see the full picture of reality. Reality. Take a step back from your fence in your yard, from your business. Take a step away and look at the global picture. What is happening with the body of Christ? The body of Christ needs to be reanimated, brought back to life, resurrected. Not reanimated, resuscitated, sorry. I'm waiting for real, true churches. Let's not multiply McDonald churches, kind of. Give me what was born from God, put by God. And I did not decide to do it, but God saw your hungry heart. But until you have hunger, God cannot see you. Until you say, take away all the IVs out of my life, I want to feel the pain, broken bones, maybe then I will start to do something. Oh, Lord, I don't want to feel anything. Tell me, what kind of morphine the church needs to be injected with, and all the universal churches as the body of Christ, that we don't even react the death of our own children that are dying after overdosing. We don't even react to car accidents, youth that was drunk that were leaving a youth service. And these are facts. I'm not lying. What do we need to do to wake up, church? Who will want to be and stand up for this generation? Jesus did not die for no reason. Did he come just so you have a great life? We are Christians. We are Christ here on this earth. And when you will understand that, you will understand what kind of responsibility is upon your life. What is the purpose, anyway, to be called a Christian if you don't have the qualities of Christ? Oh, I just started. So did I. Go ahead. It all starts with small things. What am I to do? Save at least one person. Bring him to your home. Pray for him. Fast for him. Do your part. Do something that God gave you. Leave your box. Step over this embarrassing fence. Religion, just say, Lord, show me. I am not answering before the people. I answer before you, Lord. Show me the reality. Pull out all these tubes from my veins. Let me see what is happening with my life. I don't need to be slapped around, and it's okay. Soon it will all leave. We'll see you in heaven. Some people say, you're mixing paints. What, did you fall off a high-rise building? I'm mixing paints here. Just, some people don't understand what is reality. They think I'm painting a picture because they have their own world. Leave your own world. Just fry your fish, make your mashed potatoes, and then exit. And you look where souls that head into hell. Look at the bigger picture. Go one time to a nightclub where there's thousands of young people under influence of drugs dying and being carried out. Just look at it one time. Maybe something in your life will change. How I am sick of it all. I am so sick of it all. You have your own world. That is why you don't see. This is the devil that has infused you with morphine. And morphine is your business, your world, your family. Your stores that you know, there's three of them around your house, and you see nothing else, so you don't know about anything else. And you have nothing besides your city. Oh, Jesus. You know, I'm thankful to God. In 2000, year 2000, I had a club. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Andre knows over there. Some people curse me for that club. We opened a Christian club. And then there were so many drug addicts and alcoholics that showed up. And we even caught people in cars that would inject themselves with drugs and just getting drunk in the car. They were not just a bottle of beer. They were just laying in their own throw up. And these are children of Christian families. People, I mean, kids of pastors. And you made me a problem. Because I said this, that I told you about this. Get out and look for yourself. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about our dead Christianity here and our wasted churches. Some say this is a live church. When we have statistics in that live church, there's barely any people that are alive, that are leading that church. Everybody else is just a dead mess, that mass that's not doing anything. Oh, Jesus. People have made a problem of a preacher. They've made me a problem. This is him. He's the one that irritates us in Washington, and we're not going to invite him on our pastor leadership meetings. Thank you. I don't need it. I want life. I want the salvation of my nation. Can somebody understand this?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I believe that till the end of my life, I will raise an army of people that live in the fire. This is my dream. If you're sitting, continue sitting. I will go. No matter how scary and painful it is, I will go. My dear Jesus. We're making a problem. He is a problem. They are a problem. This is the church that is the problem, because it is not doing what it was born to do. You want to see how the church was born, or what it was born to be? You have the Bible, open the book of Acts, chapter 2. Not right now, at home. And look. Take a look. What is the original was born from the Spirit, not from the flesh, and from the brotherhood. We try to make up excuses. This is not the time. We don't have money. I have my spiritual condition is not allowing me. I'm getting married. I need to build a house. Does this not look like what Jesus was talking about? One of the parables, I came and invited, and they were so busy that they all made up excuses not to go. And when I went outside into the streets, I gathered everyone, all the drug addicts, all the homeless people, all the prostitutes and alcoholics, and from them, I have made myself a feast, a wedding feast. Interesting. This is kind of what the kingdom of God looks like. The team of Jesus Christ that he has gathered from people that were just like around, right next to his hand, you know, fishermen, tax collectors, you know, sinners and so on. Jesus even had a nickname, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You know, that is the highest calling in the kingdom of heaven. You did not understand me, church. If that was his name, I want to be called the same way. For me to be loved more over there than there. There, I really don't care. Just turn me off and forget about me. You irritate us. When you're preaching, our sisters, they're watching you, and then they start asking us weird questions. Then you're not a pastor. Get off your position and let God put a real pastor. Amen? It's that easy. 1 + 1 = 2. Math is easy. If you can't deal in business, you need to close it. Amen? If you, it's been years since and you're still a pastor and it all looks like a dream, you're not successful, leave. Woe to you, says Jesus, if all speak good about you. That something's really wrong with you. Amen? Oh, yeah. Maybe somebody will wake up. The religion and the devil gave us painkillers. It starts with a communistic party. We were born and we were made to be in school. Some of you were not, but some of you were not made into being Октябрёнок. It's like a communistic party in school. You were either not made because you were a Christian or because you were in trouble. Remember all that nonsense? It was kind of painkillers. And they were telling us then this this toy, it's like a yo-yo kind of toy. That's you remember this toy? Like a spin top kind of toy? This is the best toys in the whole world. And everything else, all the German and all American stuff, that's garbage. And then all of a sudden, certain items were brought into the country. I got this pen. And I was looking at it. What is this? This is a pen? I was looking at it. Where is this from? And they told me, this is from Germany. I was like, whoa. This pen, you could tell that love was put into its style, beauty. And our USSR people, it's either the ball falls out or it's not writing. But don't forget, it is the best. This is the same with church. Don't try to go anywhere else. We have the best. The best. You could fall asleep the best here. Don't go anywhere else. All our life, we were injected with painkillers. Amen, church. All our life, we're being experimented on. I'm tired. I want at least one time God without your help. Amen. I want to find out about God from God, not from you. Oh, some of you are not getting it. When I started talking to him, apparently there's another God. He is alive. He's alive. And I understood that. And they told me, you're serving another God. And I tell him, you know what? I'd rather serve this God. He's good. Yours is always trying to catch by the hair and just smack you against the floor. Because he's waiting just to catch you in some sort of sin and punish you. Mine died for me. Sent his spirit for me. And he is standing up. He is standing up for me. This is who my God is. In between all my problems, he's right next to me. When I make a mistake, he's the first that runs and calms me down. Oh, Jesus. We've been destroyed and made disabled. As a church, we have our future stolen. Our arms and legs have been ripped off, and nobody sees that. We have been given painkillers, and we are being waited upon to see when we're going to die and we're going to finish our useless, nobody needed kind of lives. You know the most funny thing on earth is right now? You know what it is? Useless church. Do you even understand me? It is the biggest joke that the devil has made with the church, played on the church. Yeah, this is a church. Yeah, is this the hospital? Yes. They don't accept the sick people. Do you even understand me? It's absurd. If it's a hospital, I need to go there. No, you can't go there because you're sick. But isn't this a hospital? Then help me. No, because we only have healthy people here. And only if we accept them and allow them to come in. Then I'm healthy. No, no, you don't match our criteria. We have like a cutout and you don't fit in that mold. You have to fit in there. You're too different. You know, that's what I did. I ripped all of these molds into pieces. Somebody in this world, can they just say the truth and just have boldness no matter where you are? And if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to me. Amen. I like what I preach. When I say the words of God, He blesses me because I do what He told me to do. And woe to me if I will start singing songs here that will not change lives of people and it will not transform the nation. Long time ago, I asked the Holy Spirit to never, never in my life, never. I never want to receive painkillers. And that is why I'm so strange in somebody else's eyes. Because why is he screaming? Why is he always so energetic, always jumping and running? If you would have looked at the world with my eyes, without the painkillers, you would not only scream like that. Because, my dear ones, there is your life and your world, and then there's the real reality of God and this world. Somebody has to lead this world to God. Amen? Let's make our and do our part. Bring our nation, at least our nation. In our nation, we don't even have that many millions. What are you laughing at? I'm not talking about the whole world, that there's more than 6 billion. I'm just talking about our nation, a couple millions. That's all good. What are you worried about? We're not going to take you. We're going to take your kids. That's right. You're not going to repent. Your child will. He'll repent and serve God. We're very serious about our Christianity. How about you? Amen. I'm serious about my God. I'm not playing games. I don't need services. I need a live God. That's all I need. These are my criteria in ministering to God. Live God, live church. The Spirit of God is moving. Healing, deliverance. This is the criteria of God. And it means God is living there. Everything else is just pleasant, beautiful clubs with beautiful buildings and humongous crosses, great worship groups, choirs, wonderful podiums, beautiful suits for $1,000, and wonderful ties, professional sound systems, cameras that are $25,000, and millions and millions. And as far as power, 1 cent. Because when you're looking at this whole beauty, you don't understand. You have one question, whatever for. Amen? Why? Build, continue building your beautiful toilets. Put up your wonderful wallpaper in your bathrooms. Go ahead and make automatic flushers. I will bring souls to Jesus Christ. Many years ago, about 17, 18, 19 years ago when I was in Ukraine, my grandfather got sick with cancer. His inner bones and joints and his back, everything, basically all his bones were in cancer. Just, you know, after a certain time, he was sent home to die because that disease could not be cured. It was so bad. His bones were all just like falling apart from waist down. He was like a jello. He was transferred and home, and his pain was so unbearable. But the biggest morphine doses that just like knocks out even your mind could help him, and only for a little time. I was about 14, 13 years old. I understood it all. And I was living with my grandparents, and I was watching his last days. And I've never seen death. And this is death right here laying. He's laying. My grandpa is laying that I've seen recently very much alive. He was doing everything. He was building things. He was happy. And a couple months go by, and I'm watching him. He is like alive. Body, but he was dead. And I looked in the eyes of death. And, you know, there's sudden death when the person just gets sick and dies. And then there's like prolonged kind of death. Everybody knows it. He will die. A casket has been ready, you know, it's all ready for his funeral. He's got a suit for his funeral, you know, that clothes that he's going to lay in the casket. And I saw all of that. And you come in, and nobody gives any chance for this person to survive. The interesting thing is, I was in humongous shock back then in the childhood. It was first time in my life that I've seen such horror. I was 13, 14 years old, teenager. You know? When the doctor periodically would show up, you know, just come to the house and then inject my grandpa with humongous dose of morphine. It was like a narcotic drug, very powerful. He was living on morphine a couple of months, and you know, when he was injected with morphine, I've seen how his scream and his face in pain would transform into a smile, and it all became quiet. He would just leave this reality. He would forget who is even around him because morphine was so powerful, it would turn off his sense of understanding, of comprehension. He looked like a drug addict that was made into a drug addict because there was one reason, just to numb the pain, to dull the pain. When I was standing there right next to his bed, often, and I would look at this picture again. The doctor would come and inject him. He'd do the same procedure again. And when he would leave, I would see again a relaxed body of my grandpa that would look and smile, look at me. And I'd stand there and I'd cry and have tears running down my cheeks. My grandma was right next to me and my mom was right next to me. And a couple more relatives would stand there and look at my grandpa, tears rolling down our eyes, and he was just laying there and smile because he was the only one that did not understand the reality of his own condition. And back then I understood, apparently, you could all your life, you could live with injection of morphine. Apparently, the devil and the religion can transform us or transport us into their world where it's not so bad. And somebody needs to lead you from that reality that somebody has painted for you and show you the real life that is happening right now in this world. You know why my team, all my team, is made up from troublemakers, drug addicts, alcoholics, and best sinners, because only they can see the reality. Oh, Jesus. Do you do you even understand me? Does anybody understand me here? I never understood why Jesus Christ decided to pick them. Because only that, those people, they lived in real world and only they could know what needs to be done. And that is why I never need to tell my team, guys, we need to go into fast. They know that even without me. I don't need to tell them, guys, we need help. Even before I think it, they've already done it. Because one heart, one dream, and one pain, we share one pain. We look at this world with the same eyes. I want to ask you a question. How do you see this world? Maybe till this day, you're under the influence and morphine, and you're looking at me, and you still don't understand. Why am I looking at you and crying? Why am I looking at you and crying? Because I am on the other side of reality. Oh, my dear ones. Anybody, are you getting anything for yourself here? And you know, my grandpa was looking at me in like amazement. He didn't understand. He was smiling. His face was, he looked like he was crazy, basically. It was scary to look at. It was my grandpa that loved God. He was able to play piano. People loved him. They would always come to his house and they'd share testimonies about God. And right now he was here dying. He was smiling, basically a dead body, smiling under the influence of morphine. He had a couple of months to live, even if that. The pain would not leave. The pain does not dull, but some people don't feel it. And to feel the pain, And the only reason you don't feel the pain, somebody has injected you with morphine. You are living right now in somebody else's reality. That is why you do not understand me. Jesus said to Pharisees, you cannot. Why? Why can you not hear the word? You do not accept my teachings. You don't get what I am screaming on this mountain about to these people that have no pastor. Because you are not able to hear the voice. Because all of you, Pharisees, you have your own temples. You have your own titles and your robes. You have your own reality in life. And you totally, totally do not understand what is happening here where there's real people living. And I believe, my dear ones, my dream and my plan for the rest of my life is to raise up an army. I don't care that everybody knows me, and those that don't know me, they'll know me. I really don't care. I do not promote myself. I have one dream, to raise up an army that will do a great damage to the devil and his kingdom. That is my dream. To make it so painful to the devil. So have pain for 2,000 years from the time that Jesus have cut off his horns, the devil's horns, and shut off his tail and took the keys away from his own house, that I want the army of Christ to continue and do what Christ has done. Amen. Oh, Jesus, raise up your army with your rules and your life and your war. This is my dream. This is my goal. This is why I work so hard and pray and fast and work. This is why I get beat up so hard. That is why I get betrayed sometimes, because I have a dream. Oh, my dear ones, I want for some of you, most of you, get a warrior spirit. A person that is not where he wants to be, but inside he already knows where he will be. And we are Christians. That means we're in a team of God that has conquered many times. The devil lost all the way. First time, God threw him out of heaven, and you know where he ended up. Then Jesus, the devil was putting on a show, and Jesus said, okay, you want to talk to me in flesh? Let's talk in the flesh. He took off the mantle of God, went into a man, and again, beat up the devil. And gave you the same authority. Oh, yeah. And you and me, right now, we can do the same. Amen? Stop worrying, being afraid, and worrying about the next day, because on your side is victory, and in your future there's the glory of God, power of God. Oh, Jesus. I want to ask a question to all of you that are hearing and watching me. Aren't you sick of taking painkillers? Oh, I'm sick of it, church. And always, always, when I go somewhere, some sort of deacon or a pastor wants to inject occasional dose into my veins. Oh, it's not that bad as you're preaching it, brother. Of course, you're under morphine, brother. In your world, it's all colorful. It's all pink and hazy. You're like halfway decomposed with a smile on your face. Of course I irritate you because you're laying on bed full of morphine in your veins and you're watching your cable TV for the last 2 months on earth with a smile on your face, and all of a sudden I appear on the TV screen and you don't even get it. Where is this action coming from on TV? Amen? Oh, how can you just scream without special effects like that? It's Jesus. Amen. I'm sick of looking at my generation that are constantly being injected with an occasional dose of morphine in their churches. It's not so terrible. Just hold on to what you have. Let's sing a song. I will hold myself right now. It's okay. I'll just not say it. Oh, they hate me anyway. Let's read Exodus 32. Oh, not 32, 2, 23. It's an interesting time in the life of Israel. What verse? 32. Okay, I can't find the scripture. Basically, he was saying that the people of Israel, they were crying in Egypt, and because of their cry, God went and rose up Moses, a deliverer. It is written here that God remembered. And some people say God forgets. No, God does not forget, but God is waiting for something that will bring him into action. My dear ones, the church with morphine injections cannot bring God into action. Amen? Because everything that they're praying about is for their mashed potatoes and for their borscht with kielbasa. And all power goes into that. not to poison yourself. How about my generation that is dying behind your fence over there? And like young men and women that their fingers are falling off from taking too many drugs. How about them? Who's going to do that? Oh, God will call a deliverer. He has called. It's called you and me. It's called a church. Stop transferring your duties and your responsibilities on somebody else's shoulder just because we showed up here in America and we live here. We have the same kind of work because the demons are the same. Is here, the sin looks prettier, and that's it. In America, there's money to kind of like sugarcoat the sin. In Russia and Ukraine and former USSR, there's no money, so it's all you could see drunk people on the ground, all over the streets, things like that. You know, you see frozen people, frozen to death because they were drunk and fell asleep outside. And somebody could be dead like months in the village and nobody knows about, Here it's all sugar-coated and, cleans up very well and fast. It's all the same church. Oh, my dear ones, how I want. Okay, so I asked God to remove all the tubes, IV tubes from my body. He has taken that away, all that fuzzy reality that the religion wanted me to have. And now my prayer and my sermons are for you. So your veins will be empty from morphine and for you to look at this world with the eyes of Christ, and maybe your prayers will change. Some come up to me and say, please pray for me for me to get hunger or pain for the dying generation. And I tell some of them, just one pill. Go to Seattle at nighttime, Saturday. When you will go First and Second Avenue, there's many nightclubs, different clubs. Different dance club, rave, whatever, different clubs. Just go into at least one Friday night or Saturday night, and you will see the reality. Just pray before that and say, Lord, you show me, and you show me this world. Oh, my dear ones, that is better than any kind of anointing with oil or laying of hands. You need to see, just to be between them. I am not going there. That is why the church does not have the power and authority, because that is why they are not coming here. Do you understand me? Does anybody understand me? Somebody has to cross over this barrier, and it's us. Oh, I'm scared. What if I will start drinking? Okay, go get drunk and then come back and then we'll go together. That is why I have this team that has done it all. Got drunk, John drunks, lived through it. God saved them and they don't need this now anymore. That is why it's so dangerous for me to work with people that have been Christians from childhood, because they always want to sin. I'm working with people that have had enough of sin. It's like coming out of every pore and they had enough of it and said, enough. Enough is enough. Enough of a good thing. That's why Jesus' team was quite interesting.